from Luke 21, beginning with verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Then they will see the human one, the Son of Man, coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. They sprout. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom is near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we thank you and praise you for your love. And Lord, we pray that we would be a people who are ready, that we would be a people who are victorious in our living of our lives together in you. And Lord, that we would be a people who are helping to prepare and to bring others along with us in this journey. We pray in the holy and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Happy New Year. Okay, it's not exactly what we think of as New Year, is it? But in the church, it is. You see, the church year begins with Advent. It prepares us for the year that is coming, and indeed Christmastide, that 12 days of Christmas, runs us into the new year up to the point of Epiphany and helps to prepare us and equip us how we are going to live our lives and how we are going to face the year or the days, the moments that are ahead. Preparing is a way of life, isn't it? I shouldn't have asked the kids who was the smartest. Most of us realize that we are still learning, and I'm sure they know that too. There is a growing thing each day as we prepare how to live, and we discover day by day how little we know and how much we need and how far we have to go in our lives, in what God has for us and desires for our lives. In preparing for Christmas. It is both a joyful and a painful time. Sometimes the memories are of both kinds. But also, have you ever started a new tradition? I know a young man who grew up as a very small child when his parents got one of those silver aluminum Christmas trees with the rotating disc with a bulb behind it that kept changing the color of the tree. The first year that his parents put up a new tree, his world was coming apart. I mean, that just wasn't Christmas. That wasn't the tradition that he was used to. We start new traditions, but it isn't long before they become comfortable or we rebel and want to go back to the old, the familiar, the things that have that special meaning for us. And that's true of all of life, isn't it? We are a people who are preparing how to live life. Someone has said that Christmas is something that the world needs. That the world really needs Christmas. And yet, Christmas means so many different things to so many. Isn't it amazing that Christmas, the birth of Christ, so often gets hijacked? That the merchants, the bishop in his little letter wrote of the chief officer of Amazon as he was asked what his hopes and dreams were for Christmas. And his thing immediately ran to, oh, we're expecting strong sales this year. And of course, the bishop was thinking of all of these things that would have been so wonderful to have said and so wonderful to have dreamed of and hoped for. We all come down to our hopes for Christmas and our dreams. Isn't it amazing that the same world that didn't recognize Jesus will lay claim to Christmas but does its best to push him further and further? The Christmas music started, well, it started before Thanksgiving. It keeps edging. It won't be long until it will be starting before Halloween and maybe, who knows. But have you noticed how few of those Christmas numbers are carols, hymns, that the secular world has claimed Christmas for itself? In our little insert this morning, there is the move to reclaim Christmas, to remember what Christmas is really all about, and of giving, of making a difference in the same way that God made the difference in sending Jesus into this world to die for our sins. There are some ways that the world loves Christmas, in that Christmas if you leave out the cross and you leave out the resurrection, you can create God in our image rather than being created and recreated in Him. We have this baby and we can make him anything we want him to be. We forget, or the world forgets, what God did in him and through him for the world. We prepare for Christmas. But we are reminded here as we prepare for Christmas and as we prepare at the same time for the second coming of the Lord Jesus, for he is coming again. And the world doesn't get that too well. He is coming again. And that when he comes, there are expectations. They are expectations that we have been a hopeful people, that our hope has rested in him, and that we have prepared because we have hoped for his coming, and we have believed, and we have trusted, and we have experienced faith, and our faith has held even in the midst of the darkness, even in the midst of the fiscal cliffs, even in the midst of a sour economy, even in the midst of all the darkness of the world. God also expects us to be a people who are helpful. Not just hopeful, but helpful. Some of the groups in the past have hunkered down when it came to preparing for Christ's coming. When dates have been set and they have gone to the hills, some climb trees because they wanted to be the first to welcome Jesus. Others have gone to the caves, still others have hidden themselves because they were afraid of what they might have to go through beforehand. We are reminded that we are called to encourage one another. We are called, when we have that eye on the sky, that for those who believe, for those who walk with, for those who trust in the Lord Jesus, it is not going to be a terrible thing. That indeed it will be a wonderful thing in which Christ returns and we will be with him forever. We are called to encourage one another and to build one another up. And Paul reminded them that that is the whole business of the church and what it's been about all along. But also, as we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for that coming, we are a people who are homeward bound. We know where our eternal home is. We know what it's about. We know that this life and all of the glitz and glamour is not what it all is. This world with all its pain and hurt and setbacks is not what it's all about. It's all about equipping us for forever being with the one who loves us and reaches out to us in a cross. As we see the stable and we see the manger, we also see that it is in the shadow of the cross that Jesus died for us. Jesus rose and has promised that we can be with him, that because he lives, we can live also. Yes, friends, we are indeed a people of hope. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love, for your call upon our lives. And Lord, we pray that indeed we would be the people that you call us and dare to equip us to be. In Jesus' name.